As we share in the lesson this morning, there seems to be a relationship, if you will, in terms of the way we deal with one another, the way we deal with disputes, the way we deal with offenses and oughts. It seems to affect our relationship with God. It affects, we already know, our relationship with man, but it also affects our relationship with God and our effectiveness in ministry. And really, in business, there's a term, it's called a zero-sum game. And when you speak of a zero-sum game, it's a contest or a game where there are winners, there are clear winners, there's clear losers. And so, just as with the NBA and NHL finals that are coming up, I think starting this week, there'll be winners, right?
Right.
And there'll be very clear losers. The winners will get the trophy, they'll get the big check, they'll get the rings, they'll take home the trophy and the glory. Where the losers will go away, yes, they get paid, but they go away dejected and having to wait what? Wait till next year. It's a zero-sum game, and really, they try to get people away from that, this winners and losers kind of relationship, to a win-win relationship. In other words, where there's benefit to both parties or all parties concerned. But I'm afraid, even as Christians, a lot of times we treat our relationships, we treat disputes, we treat offenses as a zero-sum game. In other words, you've offended me and you must pay. You've offended me and you have to suffer for it, and you will suffer, whether that be physically, the loss of some property, or at least you will suffer in losing the relationship with me. I'm going to cut you off. However, and that's a natural response. It's natural. And so, but what we are called to do is not to behave naturally, but we're called to behave in actuality supernaturally. We're called to behave in a way that is led by and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And really, as I introduce this, I want to just share very quickly, just by way of kind of not a review, but just a reminder of really what we've already gone over as we've looked at this Sermon on the Mount, right? It started with the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes really involve us taking on the character of God. Really, and again, when you look at this in Matthew 5, right? We're to be poor in spirit, mourn, meek, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, merciful, pure, peacemakers. We're to, again, receive, if you will, persecution and reviling with rejoicing. It's not a natural thing to do. It's a supernatural, but yet, and the question is, really, because God enables me, why don't I do it? Why am I not successful? And really, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. You know, where is my heart? What is the attitude of my heart? Who am I really? It's one thing to obey outwardly, right, as we've seen. You know, the Christ, in talking about the scribes and Pharisees who meticulously, if you will, obeyed the law, at least outwardly, at least publicly. But really, their heart was not with God. They did not love God. They really didn't keep the commandments the law in their hearts. It was just a show. They were pretenders. Jesus described so many times, he said, scribes, Pharisees, the next word was what? Hypocrites. And a hypocrite is not necessarily, as we would think, someone who is a Christian but doesn't live, if you will, the Christian life. It is more so the pretender, the person who claims to have Christ, or who sits in the church as if he has Christ, who seems to outwardly walk the walk, but really the relationship is not there. He's a pretender. He's a faker. And hopefully that's none of us here today. And again, so what they did was they would keep the letter of the law, right? Again, publicly, outwardly, but again, not the spirit and the intent of the law. And Jesus said what? I come not to destroy the law of the prophet, but I come to fulfill. I'm not going to do away with anything contained in the law. What I will do is I will fulfill it, and I will show you, I will teach you what the intent of the law really is. And we had a couple of examples last week, and one of them is the lead-in for our passage today. And that one is in verses 21 and 22. But before we get into that, let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your truth, Lord. Oh Lord, there is nothing greater, nothing higher, Father, than your word, your truth. And Father, we just pray that as we share your word today, oh God, that this would be all of you, none of me, and Father, that you would prepare my heart and prepare, Lord, every heart here to receive your truth. And Father, that our lives may be changed, that we, oh God, may walk, Lord, in a closer unity with you, and Lord, that we would be more effective, Lord, as we minister, Lord, in this world. Let it be so, Lord, is our prayer in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we share in verse 21 and 22, and we share this again in verse 23, starts off with therefore. And so they say again, when you see therefore, you need to know what? You need to know what it's there for. And really, as we look at verses 21 and 22, they read, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire therefore. And so understand something in our relationships. Again, thou shalt not kill was the law. But Jesus says, understand that the intent of the law, right? The intent of the law was not just that you not murder, not just that you not kill, but the intent of the law, really, that you don't even hold anger in your heart. And it doesn't get to the point where you call, where you say, Raca. You dumbbell, you stupid idiot. Yeah, yes. Yes, it'd be akin to saying you're saying someone stupid, or you idiot, and also where you don't say thou fool. In other words, speak of really the worthlessness of this person, even morally or before God. And so, but understand this also. When you talk about anger, if I don't deal with anger scripturally, you know, we have all of these anger management courses, right? Where you learn techniques to deal with anger. Count to 10, take a deep breath, let it out slowly, get a punching bag, punch the bag, go out for a run, whatever the case may be. And these things may be effective temporary techniques. But if I don't deal with anger by reconciliation, which is our topic today, by reconciliation and forgiveness, all I am doing is I'm exercising an effective temporary technique. But whether the anger comes out slowly, day by day, or whether it comes out in bursts, it comes out. And it comes out why? Because it's inside. And what's on the inside will come out. And let me just give you, before I move on, really my title, and really that is anger and a remedy of the heart. So anger and a remedy of the heart. Because really, that's what it is. Again, and as we share today, think about something. Think about yourself. As I prepared this lesson, I had to think about myself. I had to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with me. You see, because these are issues that affect us, that impact us, and we can pretend that they don't. But there are offenses that come to us, what? Probably almost daily. The things that we have to deal with. And if I pretend that they're not there, I'm not dealing with them. I'm stuffing them. And again, what's on the inside one day will come out. Whether it comes out gradually or whether it comes out in large bursts. Now, as we start, this in verse 23, it says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee." If thou bringest thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee. And we'll start really by talking about an attitude, right? And this is really an attitude in really giving to God. So giving to God. There were several times that the Jewish males were to appear before God. And every time they would appear before God, they were not to appear before God, guess what? Empty or empty-handed. They were to bring what? They were to bring an offering. And there were other gifts that were offered to God. There was a gift that was to be offered in cleansing when a person was cleansed from leprosy. There were several gifts to be offered for God. And you and I, guess what? We offer our gifts to God. And we offer our gifts to God really daily. And when I say that, we offer prayers to God. We offer prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of praise. We offer worship to God every single day. At least we should. We offer service. We give of our means to the Lord. We minister to others, whether in our family, whether on the job, whether peers, wherever. Almost everything we do, if not everything, should be out of a worship to God and serving God and really ministry to others. And so he says, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and you remember there as you're giving your gift, as you're praying, as you're ministering, there are many who will be ministering today, who are ministering even now. As you're ministering, he says, and you remember, wait a minute, there's an offense. There's an ought. There is something between my fellow man, my brother, and me. Something that I haven't, and guess what? I don't have to rack my brain trying to remember, right? Right? Guess who will bring it to my attention? God does a very good job, right, of putting his finger on issues that I need to deal with. And he will bring those issues to the fore in my heart, in my mind, for me to deal with. So he says, and if you remember, then he says, do something, right? And it says, and that is what? Stop. Stop. In other words, and he says, leave there thy what? Leave there thy gift before the altar and do what? Go your way. Right? Leave the gift. So in other words, don't think you can do what? Don't think you can continue to worship God. Don't think you can continue to be effective in ministry. Don't think that your prayers will continue to be effective if you're ignoring something that God has asked you to deal with, something as important, because we tend to dismiss this, right? Something as important as my relationship, as your relationship with your fellow man. He says, leave it before the altar. This is important. You cannot minister this way. Go your way. And then he says, what I will call what? Get it right. Or getting it right. And what does that mean? Getting it right. He says, go your way, right? Verse 24, leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Getting it right means reconciliation. Means you seek after reconciliation. And you may say what? But it's not my fault. It's the other person's fault. It's their issue. Is that the point? Really? You may say, you don't know this person. I mean, I'm sick and tired of them over and over again. The same old issue, the same old thing. They love to create trouble, contention. Go your way. Get it right. In as much as possible, get it right. That relationship, whether I know it or not, whether I accept it or not, that relationship is important. It's important in terms of my worship of God. It's important in terms of my ability to minister in the Lord. And so it means reconciliation. And in terms of reconciliation, one of the things that reconciliation does is it fixes my heart. It fixes my heart. Who here doesn't need their heart fixed? You see, I don't want to straighten this thing out. I want to be angry. I want satisfaction. Yes, I want to serve God. Yes, I want to be rewarded. Yes, I want to be effective in ministry. But again, my flesh says, hold on to these things. My flesh says, not get it right. My flesh says, make them pay. My flesh says, win the war. My flesh says, bring it on. I'm going to win. God says, leave the gift. God says, get it right. It fixes my heart, and hopefully it mends the relationship. And in addition to mending the relationship, it restores, if you will, that fellowship with God. And again, I'm able then to, as my heart is cleansed, I'm able to allow His Word to continue to cleanse me. But His Holy Spirit also, as I surrender to Him, is able to work in and through me so that I am more effective in ministry. Get it right. And next, I want to just call it, really, we have an answer. Because in the next verse, oops, if you can't read that right, it's A-N-S-W-E-R, an answer. And it starts off in verse 25 saying, agree with thine adversary quickly while started in the way with him. So the answer is what? To agree. And by agree, it's not saying, well, you're right. Yep, everything you said was right. Yep, I'll give you everything. You win. And, you know, that's not what it means. It's not a surrender. It's not a lying or... It's your disposition really towards that person. It's being well-minded towards that person. It is not I've got to win and you've got to lose. It is dealing, having a mindset where I'm going to deal with the situation, right, as what? As quickly as possible. And I'm going to deal with the situation, right? Think about it now. Some of us have had small disputes, right? And those small disputes, because we don't deal with them, because we're not willing to go and humble ourselves and go to a brother or a sister, what happens to those small disputes? They grow. And all of a sudden, I'm attributing to you the worst of motives. I'm calling you, I'm thinking of you that you are the worst and the most evil person, and you call yourself a Christian. When really the problem is me. I can reflect my guilt, my anger, my sin onto you or onto someone else all that I want. But the truth of the matter is, my misery, my anger, my guilt is because of what's on the inside, what I have not dealt with. I have allowed, in an ungodly way, because it's an ungodly thing, I've allowed this dispute, I've allowed this wedge, I've allowed this contention, I've allowed this strife to continue to build to where it impacts really, and it will impact, hear me now, it will impact almost everything I do. Let me help you with something here. When he talked about in verses 21 and 22, this thing of anger, thou shalt not kill, and relating it to anger, understand, when I allow anger to reside in my heart, when I begin to call people stupid, when I begin to say, you fool, or you worthless person, what I'm doing is I'm cutting them off in my heart. And I may say, I'm just not dealing with them, but understand something. If I don't deal with the issue, if I don't deal with the anger, it builds. And when I don't deal with anger or dispute or situation, and it builds, as that anger resides, the problem is I'm going to act on that anger. Not that I may act on that anger. I will definitely act on that anger in some way. And eventually, it may not, but it very well could lead to me taking another person's life. Understand something. We like to say this term. We like to say, so-and-so wouldn't hurt a fly. You better believe he or she would. If I don't deal with anger and issues on the inside, you can't control anger, contrary to popular opinion. So if I don't deal with it by getting rid of it, I could very easily wind up doing things that I never thought I could do. It affects my life. It affects my ministry. It affects, really, all that I do. What I do, I think that I'm angry with my one brother. He made me mad. But no, what happens is I become an angry person. It resides in me. And so it spills out not just in my relationship with that one brother. It spills out, period. Understand that. And so he says to agree quickly. Agree quickly. Whilst thou art in the way with him. You see, in other words, agree quickly, agree right before, right? He says the next step, right, is lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, right? And the judge do what? Deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. So he's saying agree. Have the thought that you're going to deal with this thing as quickly as possible, at the lowest level possible, at the point of start. Don't let it fester. Deal with it before it goes to court. Before it goes to arbitration. Agree before, really, and there's this term, and hopefully I'll spell it right for my one of my lawyer friends in the back. Before adjudication. So before the sentence is passed down. Because once the sentence is passed down, guess what? It's too late. It's too late. Don't let it get to that point. Think about it now. When it comes to court cases, you know, one person suing or fighting against the other, suing one another, right? Generally, both sides think what? I'm right. And I'm right, and because I'm right, everything's on my side, I'm going to win. But the truth of the matter is, in each case, what? Somebody's wrong. And it may be more than one somebody. And generally, disputes can be settled more effectively, at less cost, at less expense, at less damage to relationships. If you settle it with one another, if you settle it out of court, but once the sentence is passed, it's too late. It's done. And understand something. There are some who don't know God. And really for them, they need to agree, right? They need to agree with God that, yes, I'm a sinner. And they need to confess that sin to God. Repenting of that sin, surrendering their lives to Him, because they either do it now or what? One day, the sentence will be passed. They'll stand before God. They'll be judged. And what? It'll be too late. How does it read? The rich man in hell, he lifted up his eyes being what?
Torment.
Being in torment. He sought a remedy after the sentence, but guess what? There was none. And so before all of the regret. You see, there are many who have suffered irreparable damage, if you will, who have lost families, who have lost, if you will, health, who have lost employment, who have lost many things, and I will tell you, even greater for us, right? One day, you and I, as we are working, as we are serving God, we want to hear Him say what? Well done, thou what? Good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee what? Ruler over many. Enter thou where? Into the joy of thy Lord. If that doesn't mean anything to you now, I guarantee you it will one day as we stand before God, as we receive for the things done in the body, whether they are for good or bad. Good or bad. Whether I obeyed God or not. Good or bad. And you see, I don't want to suffer any loss. I do want to hear Him say, well done. Am I going to trade that for a little fleshly or personal satisfaction in winning some minor dispute that eternally means nothing? Before the alas, before the loss, before the woe, He says, agree. And it applies to the sinner in his relationship to God. It applies to the saint as well. Agree. Make it right. Agree. And you see, all of this has, when you talk about this attitude, when you talk about this answer, when you talk about getting it right with our brother, with our fellow man, we talk about settling, if you will, disputes right, when taking care of things quickly, because there is an affecting. I don't know if that's a word, but an affecting. I'll use it anyway. F-F-E. Okay. An affecting. These things have an impact. You know, my relationship with my brother has an impact, as we've already said. It impacts, first of all, what? But very definitely, my relationship with who? With my fellow man. With man. Right? It, as it cuts me off, if you will, it cuts me off from Him, and I'm not able, if you will, to maybe do the things I could, you know, in a work situation, right? When you have two people that disagree and will not, will not resolve their disagreement, will not come together, all of a sudden the work that could be done is affected. All of a sudden, the company who's paying these individuals suffers some loss because of their inability to work together. And we will suffer some loss in our relationships if we are unwilling to resolve disputes, resolve strife, if we're unwilling to come together with our brother. So it affects, really, our relationship. Ta-da, shunships. And I'll just say, with man. And thinking about what? 1 John 1. Thank you. Thinking about 1 John 1, right? Not only does it affect my relationship with mankind, and my Christian brother, but it affects my relationship with who? With God. It affects my relationship with God. And make no mistake about it. Again, I cannot hope to worship God and to minister before God in a heart that is what? When you think about the Beatitudes, with a heart that is not pure. You see, think about also something. When the gift was offered, the gift, the sacrifice had to be what? Perfect. Perfect. I ask the question, is my heart perfect? Is your heart perfect? And with that, no one lives, right, the perfect life. However, as God puts his finger on my sin, is my heart to immediately repent, immediately to deal with the situation. It impacts my relationship. It impacts my ability to worship God. It impacts my really ability to hear from God, to gain God's direction in situations in my life. And I'm just going to say are with God, my relationships with God. But also, as we've also already shared, it impacts something else. We are called up to this point as we looked at the Beatitudes. Jesus said what? Ye are the salt. You are the salt of the earth, right? But if the salt has what? Lost its savor, what? It is good for what? Have you ever thought of yourself, not of somebody else, but have you ever thought of yourself as good for nothing? Well, think about it. If I'm not doing my job as a Christian, if I'm not allowing, right, myself, my person to be cleansed by the Word of God, if I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to reign and rule in my life, if I'm not exhibiting the character of God in the world so that the world does what? So that the world sees Christ? Guess what? I'm good for what? Boy, that was very quiet. I'm good for what? Nothing. I'm not doing the work, the job that I'm intended to do. I'm not effective in ministry. I cannot be. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are what? The light of the world. A city that is set where? On a hill cannot be hid. And you see, God really wants to point us out. God wants to use us effectively to show the world his reality. He wants the world to see him through who? And as I consider myself and as I consider the lesson of the day, is God able to use me effectively? Or is there something in my heart that I refuse to release? Is there a dispute? Am I refusing to go to my brother? Am I refusing to deal with it quickly? Am I refusing to humble myself? And if so, I have to ask the question, do I really want God to use me? Do I really want to be close to God? You see, this impacts our results in the world. Our results in and with the world. Let your light so shine before men that what? That they may see. That they may see your good works. Your good works. And glorify who? Your Father which is in heaven. But when we refuse, right, to deal with anger in our hearts, when we refuse to deal with disputes, what do they see? What do they say, right? And he's supposed to be a Christian. He goes to so-and-so church, and they're supposed to be, what do they call it, holy or good or saint, whatever. What example does the world see if I refuse to deal with issues concerning my fellow man? You see, as we wrap this up, really, in as he talks about paying the uttermost farthing, again, what he's asked us to do is not natural, but it is supernatural. We can't do this without the help, without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is not going to come and take over my life. He's not going to wrestle me to the ground and say, you will let me use you. It really depends on my willingness to surrender to God. To surrender to God and maintain, if you will, right relationship with my fellow man. Now, will there be some that will refuse your attempts at peace, your attempts at reconciliation? Absolutely. But he says again, for us, in as much as lieth within you, right? In as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. It's my responsibility. It's not their problem. It's my issue. And so, really, I pray that as we wrap this up, that we see, really, the remedy for our anger, the remedy for our disputes, and that is really a heart change. And it's really having a heart for God. A heart for God is that hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that seeking after God. And it's having a heart that God can minister through as I allow His Word and as I allow His Holy Spirit to do His purifying work in my life so that I can be effective, so that I can have a close relationship with Him, so that I can hear Him clearly, and that I can be effective in ministry. Amen? Amen. Let's bow. Lord, we do thank You for the truth of Your Word. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that, oh God, first of all, Lord, I pray that Your Word would continue, Lord, to cleanse me, Father, that You, Father, would just do, Lord, Your work of cleansing me. And Father, with every person here, I pray, Lord, that we, Lord, would submit, Lord, we would repent, Father, of the sin, Lord, that resides on the inside. Repent, Lord, of the wrong attitude of heart. And Father, allow You, Father, to do Your work in us, Lord, that we, Lord, would be reconciled to our brother. And being reconciled to our brother would have fellowship with You. And, O God, would be able, Lord, to minister effectively, to disciple others. O God, that we, that our light, Lord, would shine in this world, causing others, Lord, to see You. It's in Your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.